Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's Veterans Day. And I want to ask if there's any people that have served in the armed services here that we can remember you. God bless you, and thank you for your service. Now, on face value, I'm going to talk about Veterans Day in a little bit, but on face value, you might read this gospel and think, oh, how wonderful this... I think Kelly really got a lot out of her sermon this morning. So on face value, you might read this gospel and think, oh, how wonderful this good little widow is, putting all of her money in the offering and not thinking about herself at all. And this is especially true because this is the time of year when a lot of churches have something on their minds. Does anybody know what that is? Stewardship. That's right. Stewardship. And people sometimes think, see, if we would just all of us put everything that we have into the offering plate, not worry about where things come from when the church, then the church would never have to worry about its budget problems for the coming season, and we would be able to do all those things that we used to do in the past, like have a secretary and a groundskeeper, and we'd be able to have our own school, and we'd be able to pay people to do those things, and we could have great internet service here, and be able to hire a big professional website developer, and thank God we've got people with gifts to do a lot of those things. Don't ask for much in return, but you know, we'd be able to pay all those people to do that. And now it all sounds very good, but that's kind of a dream world, because if we all, each of us, gave everything we had, what would we have? Nothing of our own. And it's not really based in reality. And that widow who puts everything she owns into that treasury now has nothing to live on herself. And what good will that do her when we hear that the temple, which Jesus had mentioned just previously, has been actually leeching the money of widows? And this institution will actually fail her in the end. Now, these scribes are part of a religious, the Hebrews, that carry with them a long-standing beliefs about the nature of what constitutes doing good in society. Now, as far back as the laws of Moses, in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, we read about how the people of Israel must ensure that they help the helpless. This is the great trifecta of three things that they continuously name over and over and over again: the widow, the orphan, and the strangers in their land. These are people who cannot help themselves. And as you see, you'll see if you read the prophets, it comes up again: the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. When the prophets criticize their leaders, it is how they are helping these people. Because that care is a measure of exactly how society is doing and how it's failing. Because if these three groups are not being taken care of, then they're certainly not taking care of everybody else. And then God is not really happy with those that are in charge. So here, sitting in front of the treasury, Jesus is not just making a casual observance about the ever-sacrificial nature of widows. He's actually making a sharp criticism of the powers that be, the scribes who like to walk around in their long robes. It is a social statement about all the wrongs the institution itself is doing with the people who are in its care. But I ask you, is this solely an indictment of the temple, an institution which is clearly not acting in the best interests of the subjects of their need? Or is the widow unwittingly giving everything she owns in a misguided faith, expecting that her needs will be met, only to have it all devoured by the scribes so that they might look good? Now, maybe we might want to consider her motivation for doing it for a minute. The woman is making a great sacrifice for a cause that she devoutly believes in. And in light of that, that she's doing what she's doing because she has strong beliefs. And that's not a bad thing in her case. And in light of that, I think about our veterans who have served our country and the sacrifices that they have made for our nation. And you should know, I already mentioned that it was Veterans Day, so I don't have to mention it again. Now, Veterans Day has its origins in the First World War, which was a time when we lost so many soldiers. There was so much death, so much destruction, that we needed to heal as a nation. And 1 year after the armistice was declared, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed Armistice Day, stating, "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service, and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations." Now, it didn't just stay Armistice Day after World War II, because after World War II we had more veterans, and it was changed into Veterans Day to commemorate all those who have served, the living and the dead. But while we have a day, one day each year, to particularly remember those of you that have served, we haven't always been the best stewards of their care. Even before World War II, veterans who were from World War I who had suffered what we now call post-traumatic stress syndrome, or post-traumatic stress disorder, they often met with difficulties returning into society. And many of us remember, are old enough to remember, those that came back from Vietnam were often greeted by crowds of people who, rather than embracing them with open arms, rejected them with protests as soon as they came off the planes and the boats. And in truth, some things are not always what they should be today. Now, are we providing veterans with the services that we promised them when we ask them to put their lives on the line for us? Why is it that 1-2 out of every 5 person living on the street is a veteran, which is really a disproportional representation of their membership in our population as a whole? Another statistic is that veterans under the age of 24, young male veterans under the age of 24, are twice as likely to be unemployed as their civilian counterparts. And this one really made me sad when I read it, that veterans are twice as likely to take their own lives as civilians, and female veterans are 3 times more likely. Now, whether or not the institutions that we have in place to serve veterans are meeting their needs, the VA can only do so much. And it still stands to reason that given these statistics that I've just read to you, that some needs are still not being met. Some things still need to be taken care of for these people who have given up so much of themselves, their time, their lives, in many cases, their health. And after all, what can we expect when these institutions we have in place are just a creation of human hands that make them? What can we expect when we put all of our trust into things made by those human hands? Institutions, governments, even temples. Now, I'm not interested in playing a game of who makes the best Christians in society. But it should go without saying that, historically speaking, the church has not always been someone who had the best interests of the people they served at heart. Now, this has been true in history. I've just watched the whole series of The Tudors, and me and my spouse are in the middle of watching the Borgias, and, you know, back in the Renaissance era, churches were doing a lot of funny things with people's lives. And I know it's a dramatization, but the Reformation did happen for some reason. And even today, it seems like there's not a week that goes by that I'm not reading a news account online about somebody who represents the church or some other religious institution with authority who is taking advantage of members of their flock in some way or another. They're absconding with money, they're taking advantage of services, or they're exploiting their members in one way or another. Yeah. Psalm 146, which our choir sang so beautifully today, reminds us not to put our trust in those who rule, the mighty of the earth. It is God who raises up those who are bent low. This is why Jesus came to us, in order to sit across from these institutions, the treasury, and to oppose, maybe not the institutions themselves that people create, but the way those who run those institutions are doing it, to serve their own ends. Those who walk around in long robes, to be seated at the best seats and to be greeted with respect on the street. Or those who lobby the government to engage in practices to increase their own pocket linings while exploiting some or most of the common people. Jesus came so that we would have a place to put our fears and needs, so that we wouldn't have to rely on institutions that many times fail our needs. Jesus came to be the one who understands and sympathizes with us and gives us somewhere to carry our fear, for it to carry our fear, for it to be healed. Because where we can be failed by those human hands that are managing these institutions, we may yet remain fully faithful that God is there to provide for us with love, encouragement, and hope. And God will not let us down when we are in need. So, back to the widow. Maybe she's dropping the money she has, all the money she has in the world, to this treasury because she has faith and hope that the institution will do good for her. And maybe they're going to change their ways. Who knows? It is a sacrifice, like those of the soldiers in wars who have died and been wounded both physically and in ways that we as society have fallen short of measuring. But as Jesus is pointing out, she is giving way more of herself than those who are giving more value, but much less proportion. And it makes no difference whether that we find her being misguided. It is hers to give and her sacrifice to make. In fact, the widow has honor for doing what she's doing. And Jesus is well aware of the incredible contributions she has made. He knows about her sacrifice and her faith, and in the end, she will be rewarded. So rather than pity the poor old woman, we should certainly honor what she has done, as Jesus has, as much as we should honor those that have sacrificed their lives for us. So, obviously, this is not a sermon on stewardship. Because the lesson is not that you should just drop everything that you own into our collection plates and leaving yourself absolutely nothing to get by. No. No. While your contribution to the church is needed and meaningful, and what you give is important and valued, ultimately, our trust needs to be in Jesus. That is where our faith needs to lie, and it is there that makes all the difference. Because it is in trusting Jesus that we receive blessings, that we receive the grace that nurture and care for our well-being. It is in trusting Jesus that we find all of our needs met. Amen.